If all of the kings had their queens on the throne, we would pop champagne and raise a toast to all of the queens who are fighting alone. Baby, you're not dancing on your own.
What's up?
Yeah.
It's the Queens of the Court podcast. We're the King Size Queens. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Anson.
And we're here to bring you everything you need to know about women's basketball, which is like a lot.
A lot. Especially with the college game.
Yo, it's our fourth season.
Season four. Wow.
Crazy.
Wow.
So we're back with, the college game.
You did it.
Which is, that's different.
You did it.
That's about season four, not about our absence. See what I'm saying?
We're back.
See the difference? We're back with the college game. I'm going to change it. The college game is back.
There you go.
We haven't gone anywhere, so we can't be back.
We're always here.
Women's college basketball is back, and we are excited to have the season kick off. And it's going to be a really interesting season. This is going to be our preseason preview, pre-everything show.
Pre-stuff. Pre.
Get that pre on.
Yeah. Give me that pre good, dude.
Okay, I don't know. You just took it somewhere else. I don't know where it went. Anyway, so, we want to kind of talk to you guys a little bit today about what to expect from the upcoming season, who some of, the potential standout stars are going to be, what some of the interesting storylines are going to be other than COVID, because obviously that will be
COVID.
A major storyline.
For sure. It's just that looming thing.
But, yeah, we wanted to kind of, take this time to, talk about the preseason rankings and, the incoming freshmen. So why don't we just, jump right into it? Unless, you want to, share, a funny tidbit about, your week or something.
Yes.
Yeah? You want to share a funny tidbit?
No, I don't.
Funny tidbits?
I wasn't prepared for the tidbit part.
All right, let's get to the basketball part then. Why don't we start by talking about, I don't know, where do you want to start?
We can go with some rankings, the overall what the experts out there think
for the team rankings.
Yeah, the team rankings. I mean, I feel like it's a good place to start, right?
All
right,
that's fine. It's probably be the meat and bones of our show. So let's meat and potatoes of our show. Meat and bones.
Meat. I don't know where the bones. Why bones? Yeah,
why bones?
Whew. I'm glad you called it out and I didn't have to say anything.
Yeah, right?
Thanks.
You love making fun of me. What are you talking about?
Totally, but...
All right, so we have preseason AP and coaches poll top 25. So why don't we jump right into it? There aren't too many differences.
Nah, nothing
list.
Too crazy. I mean, spot or two flips here and there.
Yeah, I think... Yeah. So anyway, let's hop into it right away. Yeah. So let's start with the top 10. From the AP coaches poll, which is generally the one that's kind of more accepted than the coaches poll. South Carolina comes in at number one with 29 of the 30 first place votes, and this is after they finished number one last year before there could be a tournament.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
With that talented freshman class from last year and now sophomores, the AP poll likes them for number one in the country. Stanford is number two. They get the other first place vote, and they're the number two team. They finished last year, pretty high up there as well. So no surprise to see them. They're returning a lot of really good talent. They're really deep. So we'll see, what they can do now that Oregon has graduated. Their trio, their trifecta of doom. That's what I'm gonna call them: Sabrina, Ruthie, and Satu. Stanford should own the Pac-12 this year.
It's still a very tough division.
For sure.
So it's not something that I don't think any team this year is going to be a clear standout basically in any division. Maybe UConn, maybe. But
UConn's
like,
always a standout.
But I'm just saying, in general, I just think there's going to be a little bit more parity that we're used to in the Pac-12.
I feel like there's always a lot of parity in the Pac-12. Like, even though Oregon was so good, like, I feel like Stanford and Oregon State and UCLA.
The rest. It was Oregon,
I mean,
and then the rest. And they had really nice parity.
Oregon had a couple losses, though. It's not like they didn't lose anyone.
I know, so. But they were Oregon.
Totally. But anyway, I think Stanford's going to be that team this year. I think Stanford's going to run the Pac-12 undefeated. So, I like them at number two. Actually, I like them at number one. But that's
they would be your one?
Yeah, I think that for me, the South Carolina lost Ty Harris and Makia Herbert-Harrigan, you know, both first rounders in the WNBA draft. And I think specifically Ty Harris is what's really going to be difficult to replace, because I feel like in the college game, like, you know, if you don't have a really good, you know, strong point guard that has really good vision and scoring ability, it's harder to make really good use of your bigs.
Okay.
So I think they're going to struggle this year. Maybe only early on. Maybe they'll figure it out by tournament.
Yeah.
But
I mean, the point guard situation there, it's just a younger group, right? So, like, I think they'll come together by the end of the season, like you're saying. But they might have some early on struggles. But you expect Aaliyah Boston to probably get them through some of that.
Yeah, I mean, she's everyone's, like, you know, favorite for, like, you know, a player of the year type award and that kind of thing. So
totally.
Yeah. UConn clocks in at number three. UConn lost a couple players to the WNBA and are bringing in, you know, the highly touted recruit Paige Beckers, the number one overall recruit. Everyone's very excited to see what she can do in the college game. They also get Evina Westbrook, who had to sit out last year as a transfer from Tennessee. They get her on the floor. So they're really replacing the talent that they lost, you know, with, you know, some pretty, pretty solid players. So we're expecting them to be very good.
Yeah, they're the easily that team that if Paige is what everybody expects her to be, it would be hard to see them not be number one by the end of the year.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, especially, you know, UConn's just so good. Gino is such a good coach.
And yeah.
And they figure their shit out. So
their division's always...
They're back in the Big East, which means they're going to have more competition,
it's
which
nice.
Is really good for them.
But it's still the Big East, so...
Right.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, still, I feel like there's more competition in the Big East than there was...
Oh, way more.
...in the American.
Yeah,
so.
Way more. Thank God they came back. It's nice for all of their programs across the board. So.
Totally.
Good for them making that smart decision.
Baylor clocks in at number four. Everyone be clocking in, apparently. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'll stop saying that. Baylor is number four, and they lost some important players. Lauren Cox, probably most notably. But they've been loaded from their recruiting classes anyway. They've got a couple really solid recruits coming in this year, not to mention, you know, all the recruits they've had the past couple of years. So they should continue to be really strong.
I mean, they always get great classes.
They do.
They seem to get that Texas blood, you know, and that's strong to get.
And, like, you know, we're concerned about Dee Dee Richards, who had, like, a collision with Moon Urson during preseason practices. And, you know, unclear how she's going to be or whether she's going to be able to come back. Rumor had it that she was, like, the new point guard for Baylor. So we'll see how she is. Our thoughts and wishes are with her as she recovers from this spinal injury.
Yeah, that's...
Hopefully she'll be back.
That's really going to affect the team, especially, like, her leadership and...
Her defense.
You know, that defensive presence that she brings, like, that intensity really rubs off on the rest of the team. So... Mm-hmm. She is that spark plug every night, so we'll see. I hope she comes back healthy.
Mm-hmm. And obviously there's a lot of depth there, so, you know, I'm sure even if she doesn't come back healthy, Baylor will still be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, oh, no doubt.
Number five is going to be Louisville, our first ACC team on the list. Louisville lost a bunch of players, you know, to the draft last year as well. They bring on a pair of very talented freshmen in Haley Van Lith, and one of the most highly touted recruits, point guard, you know, type player, as well as forward Olivia Cochran. Both of them are expected to be, you know, big impact players for Louisville right away. So
huge, yeah.
We'll see how they can mix with, you know, the returning senior star Dana Evans, who we're going to talk more about as we look at these awards watch lists. Louisville's a great team, you know. They're solid every year. They do a really good job with recruiting. They haven't had a lot of like transfer problems where they've lost a lot of players. So, you know, they're kind of like, you know, just kind of rocking and rolling each year.
Yeah, it seems like if they get players, they say, they always say. Mm-hmm. So it seems like everybody's always happy.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff
Walls has built a great program there.
Yeah. So, you know, there was a lot of rumors about him possibly leaving this past year.
For the Texas job?
Yeah. So it was nice to see that he stayed and, you know, they brought in Haley with that. So, like,
yeah,
you know, clearly he is one of the top recruiters out there. He is, you know, that next force to be reckoned with for years to come.
Mm-hmm. So that's your top five, South Carolina, Stanford, UConn, Baylor, Louisville. I think it's a pretty solid top five. I'm not sure that they'd be in that order for me necessarily, but, you know, that they're definitely the premier programs, you know, and the teams that are coming back from having done really well last year. 6 through 10 is, for me, there's a lot of more question marks in the 6 through 10 rankings. Number 6 is Mississippi State. They lost their head coach, which I think is really significant, a lot more than people think it is. You know, their star player is a sophomore, Rikia Jackson. So I'm not positive they're going to be that good, at least maybe not in the early going. We have to see how the coach transition works out.
Totally. I mean, that's a big
I'm not
big
sold
change.
On them being the number 6 team in the country.
Yeah, that's a big change at the head
big
coach.
Change.
You know?
I mean, he built that program from nothing.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Number 7 is Arizona, basically on the shoulders of Player of the Year candidate Ari McDonald. You know, who decided not to go to the WNBA last year. I know she's your girl.
You know, I got that love for her.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a solid team around her, but it's really going to come down to what she can do and how well she's able to carry the team. Again, I feel like ranking them 7th might be a little aggressive, but...
So I think at any moment they could be anywhere from 5 to 15, depending on how they play, depending on how McDonald plays, right? So there's nights where that team could be playing like a top 5 team, you know? They'll probably have a few big upsets this year, you know, because that's what they'll do. They'll just do that. They have great talent.
They'll probably also get upset a couple
exactly,
times this year.
Exactly. That's my point. Mm-hmm. They will have some bad losses that you're kind of just scratching your head about. But I do think when tournament time comes around, they are a scary team.
Yep.
So I could see the 7 ranking, you know, being good, but I could also see 15 and I would be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, totally. I agree. Number 8 is NC State. Wes Moore's program, which has consistently climbed in the rankings year over year over year. They've got some really strong talent. This is the year that I thought that they were really going to have a chance to push for top in the ACC after, you know, Louisville lost some talent and Notre Dame has lost a lot of talent. And NC State has just kind of been building, you know, what they have.
I mean, I love what they how they were finishing last year, too. They were finishing hot. I expected big things out of them in the tournament, but, like, it was sad we didn't get to see it, but... I think that's, like you said, I think that's a program that keeps on getting better and better, and mm-hmm. I think it's a program that right now, if they finished in the top 3, I would be like, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's starting to pull in better recruits, or like at least more highly touted recruits than he did in the past. So they have some really solid pieces. Like, I think Alyssa Cunane, you know, could be, you know, everyone talks about how great Aaliyah Boston is, but I think Alyssa Cunane could be the better center.
Is she eligible this year?
I don't know.
To
I'm
come
not
out?
Sure. I'm not sure.
She could be an interesting one.
There's going to be a lot of questions about who's going to go to the draft in the next couple of years because the NCAA granted every player an additional year of eligibility regardless of their age or how many years they've played because of COVID. And so... it's going to be interesting to see who takes advantage of that, who doesn't, you know, what players, you know, might get an extra year, what players might, you know, forego a year. So it's unclear to me how it's going to go. The number 9 team is UCLA. Again, we're really talking about a lot of these teams, these like 6 through 10 teams are really built behind one star player. So UCLA, you know, they've got a couple really solid players. They've got Michaela Onyenwede. And they've got...
That was good.
Thanks. And they've got a former Baylor transfer, Natalie Chu, who is a really highly touted guard. So they're a solid team. They're going to be quiet this year. They're going to be like quiet good. And, like, you're going to watch them and be like, how good are they? How good are they not? Mm-hmm. But they've got a lot of potential. They have a chance because of the star power to make deep runs. But we'll see.
Yeah.
They're in that stacked Pac-12. So, and then Oregon clocks in at number 10. Clocks in. Everyone be clocking.
Are they going to work?
I guess.
Yeah, they're all going to work.
They better be going to work. Hey, girl.
Yeah.
Oregon, like we said, we lost the trifecta of doom. Satu Sabali, who went number 2 in the draft. Sabrina Ionescu, who went number 1. And Ruthie Hebert, who went like
8 or 9.
Something like that.
Something like
I'm
that.
I'm not positive. Anyway, so they bring in the number 1 freshman class this year. 5 recruits in like the top 40 or top 50 or something like that.
And they still have some veteran depth there too.
Oh yeah, they still have a bunch of really good pieces that came off the bench.
You have Baby Sobs, and then you're gonna have Erin Boley. So like, she's been around and she's been there forever. It feels like.
Yep, it does feel like that. So we still think they're gonna be a really good team. You know, obviously huge losses in Serena Satu and Ruthie, but you know, that's just how the game goes. You know, you have losses, you rebuild, and you keep moving.
Obviously, you know, the AP and the coaches both think that with who they're bringing back and the talent that they're bringing in, that they should be able to compete at the level that they've been playing at, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be nice to see.
Yep, you know? Absolutely. I agree.
Fresh faces.
Yeah, yeah. So 11 to 15 is we've got Kentucky at 11. Big player we're watching there is going to be Ryan Howard, player of the year candidate. Number 12, we have Maryland. They've got that sophomore point guard, Ashley Owusu. You know, they lost a couple players to transfer, but they pulled in a couple players from transfer. They pulled in Chloe Bibby, who, you know, is going to be a really big addition for them. And they're a really solid team. So they're at number 12. Number 13 is Texas A&M. After losing Kennedy Carter, I'm a little bit surprised to see them up this high. So,
especially when I basically thought last year she was the whole team, you know? When she was out, Texas A&M did not look good.
Yeah, they've got some really strong bigs, and transfer Jordan Nixon from Notre Dame is eligible now for them. So I think it'll be an interesting season for them. I think they have potential and the talent. But I think they're well coached. I just don't know how they're going to fare against, you know, the really strong teams. But that's why they're ranked 13th and not higher. So
totally.
After Texas A&M, we have Arkansas coming in number 14. This is a really high rank for Arkansas. They have a couple stars. They got transfer Destiny Slocum, who has made the rounds around the country, starting in Maryland to Oregon State and now Arkansas. And then they also have Chelsea Dungy, who has been huge for the program since the beginning. So we'll see how they do. Number 15, we have Iowa State. They're going to be, you know, really built on the back of Ashley Jones, who is a really solid, another player of the year candidate that we're going to be looking at in a little bit. But we'll see what they can do. You know, they're going to be a solid team.
Yes.
And then the rest, 16 through 25, we're just going to run through them real quick. We've got Indiana at 16, Northwestern at 17, Oregon State at 18, DePaul at 19, Ohio State at 20, the Gonzaga at 21, Notre Dame at 22, Syracuse at 23, Missouri State at 24, and Michigan at 25. And that's going to round out your top 25. Obviously, this is all preseason, so we'll see how these things change. You know, some of these teams will probably end up, you know, moving up in the ranks. Others will move down and out. So we'll just keep our eye on it as weeks go by. But should be an exciting year.
Yes.
Anything from this list? Like, what's the biggest standout for you? The team that doesn't belong where they are? Whether it's a team that belongs higher or lower, doesn't matter. But just which team here stands out to you?
I mean, Man. I don't know. I guess for me, Mississippi State shouldn't be where they are. That's one of the biggest. I think that's going to be a quick change when the year starts.
They're going to have a loss early on. And
yeah, I think that's going to be one. I just think, you know, the coaching change is such a big deal that they're not mentioning. And then on the opposite side of that, I would like to say, like, probably Texas not being ranked.
Mm.
You know, so both ways.
Mm.
So I think that's, you know, they have – Texas has a lot of talent, you know. It's just they didn't have the right, you know, coaching there. So mm-hmm. I think when that changes, and we'll see a different team there and probably a different team with the Mississippi State part too. But hopefully, you know, you don't want to see Mississippi State, like, fall from nothing. You want them – keep going. So let's hope that they could keep afloat from, you know, that big deal, that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
What about you?
So for me, I would say Maryland is probably one of the biggest surprises to me. I feel like Maryland is a top 10 team. I'm a little surprised that they're outside the top 10. So that's probably the biggest one for me that I look at and I say, you know, this team is better than this. Like, they're getting the shaft because maybe of their transfers that they had, but I think that they're a really good team. So that would be the one for me.
Cool.
Yep. All right, let's move on. While we're talking about, like, team rankings, let's talk real quick about the incoming class. So we're just going to kind of shift to talk about, you know, the incoming freshman class. It's always one of the most exciting things about the college game each year is how are the freshmen going to impact the game, right? So we saw last year, you know, South Carolina pulled in the number one over a ranked class, and they dominated immediately. Like, you know, Aaliyah Boston, Zia Cook, they came in and they just wrecked. And as sophomores, they're we expect huge things out of them now. But, like, who are the teams that we can expect big things from the incoming freshman class? So let's take a quick look at how ESPN has ranked the incoming classes. Number one incoming class is Oregon. And let's take a closer look at that class. So Oregon's pulling in five-star recruits. So Sidney Parrish is the top-ranked recruit they pulled in at number 10, a 6-foot guard. Then they've got number 15, Kylie Watson, number 19, Maddie Scher, number 24, Angela Dugulik. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing your name. And number 33, Tahina Paupau. So that's five recruits in the top 35. So talk about reloading after, you know, losing some really good talent. So who knows? It's always a question, like, how quickly freshmen are going to acclimate to the college game and how impactful they're going to be. Their preseason rankings or their Hoop Girls rankings don't necessarily translate to success. But keep an eye on the Oregon freshmen for sure.
For sure.
Number two, UConn pulls in the number two class. They, as we've talked about before, they pull in the top prospect, Paige Beckers, who's expected to make an immediate impact. I think she's on, like, all of the preseason Player of the Year watch lists, which is wild for a freshman.
Wild, but she is
that good.
She is that good. If there is any a freshman that came in looking like senior year Sabrina Ionescu, it's her.
Right.
As a freshman, that's kind of like what she looks like, you know?
Totally. And she, you know, she takes over for Crystal Dangerfield, who was the
rookie of the
point
year.
Guard, you know, at UConn and the rookie of the year in the WNBA.
You know, big shoes to fill, but I think that's easily done, and that team's going to be very good around her, so she's going to have a lot to play with.
Yeah, I mean, I think UConn should be the preseason number one, but we'll see. Rounding out that class is number 21, Murr McLean, a wing. And number 26, Aaliyah Edwards, also a wing. And then Gino pulled in two international prospects, Nika Mool and Pieth Gabriel. I'm definitely pronouncing all these names wrong, so I'm sorry. So that is the UConn freshman class. And, like, in all honesty, UConn usually pulls in one or two top recruits, but rarely has, like, a class this deep. So good for them. You know, good for them to pull in. You know, Geno's been tapping into the international market last couple years and gotten some good talent from it. So we'll see how that goes. It's harder for the scouts to kind of, you know, grade international prospects because they don't get the same chance to see them as they do in high school.
Yes, but also sometimes you get some of these young girls playing for their national teams earlier. So if you do bring in some of these players, you might get some, like, real big diamonds in the rough in that way.
Like Anna Makara,
yeah,
who they pulled in last year, who was amazing as a freshman.
Totally. And it's they get to play against some, you know, stronger women earlier because of these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have it in the U.S. where they're going to play basically on those, like, you know, 14 to 18 USA teams. So, you know, they're not going to sneak on to, like, their national teams. But these girls in those countries, if they're good enough, they get on there. They at least get to play, you know, practice with them.
Totally.
So.
Number three incoming class goes to Notre Dame, who pulls in 4 5-star recruits, starting with number 23, Madeline Westbeld, younger sister of Catherine Westbeld, who helped Notre Dame win a championship a couple years ago. Number 25, Allison Campbell. Number 32, Natalia Marshall. And number 44, Alasia Hayes. And then they have a recruit, a 3-star recruit, Amira Abdur-Rahim, who is the younger sister of former NBA player Sharif Abdur-Rahim. So she definitely has the pedigree.
Totally.
And the genetics.
Yeah.
So this is a great class for Notre Dame. You know, we know Notre Dame had kind of an epic fall from grace last year after losing all of their starters to the WNBA and trying to rebuild.
Yeah.
They had a tough year, so this freshman class should help them. And, you know, we'll see if they're able to kind of, you know, climb their way back into relevance this year.
Neil Ivier. Let's see how it goes.
The number 4 incoming class belongs to the Syracuse Orange Women? Orange Women? Orange Men? Syracuse Orange? I don't really know what to call them. I guess we'll just call them the Orange.
Yeah.
Syracuse brings in 7 prospects, which is, like, crazy. I think these programs only get 15 scholarship spots. So to bring in 7 in one class is wild. But they pull in a 6'6" Camilla Cardoso, who is the number 5 overall prospect. She should be huge for them. Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
Then they bring in number 11, Priscilla Williams, who is a 6'2 guard. So we're talking about a lot of size going to Syracuse.
A lot of size.
And then they bring in number 91, Faith Blackstone, and 3-star guards, Kiara Fisher, Laura Samarin, and Camille McNeil. Hubens. Maude Hubens. From Europe. Anyway, so big class for Syracuse. They're going to be an interesting program to watch. They still have Tiana Manga Kahia, who was given another year of eligibility after she was battling cancer. That's going to be one of the big storylines people are going to watch. I think this girl is like 25 or like 26, and she's still playing in high school or in college.
High school, my bad. Oh my God.
in college.
Don't do that to her.
Right? And she's really, really talented. So she'll be the leader of this team, and, you know, a lot of it's going to be what can she get out of these freshmen? What can she get out of the rest of the team as she leads this program? And then the number 5 class goes to Louisville, who pulls in 4 recruits. We already spoke about 2 of them, number 8, Haley Van Lith, and number 18, Olivia Cochran. So these should be the 2, you know, kind of like, you know, jewels of this recruiting class for Louisville, but they're also pulling in Marissa Russell and Alana Smith.
Yes.
So those are your top 5 programs. Let's go over them again. We've got Oregon at number 1, UConn at number 2, Notre Dame at number 3, Syracuse at number 4, and Louisville at number 5. 3 ACC teams.
Yeah.
So
ACC's good. I mean, the ACC's always good, right?
Always good.
So, it's just, we'll continue it. Yeah.
Keep an eye out for those programs to see what kind of contributions they can have from their freshmen. That's really what we're going to be looking for there.
Some of them could have big right away.
Right away. All right. Let's talk about some of these preseason awards lists.
Watch lists. We have a lot of them, so we should try and...
Yep, try to get through them.
Yeah.
Why don't we start with the Naismith Trophy preseason watch list? So this is the 2021 Women's Jersey Mikes Naismith Trophy.
Oh, shit.
Let's go, J. Mikes.
Oh, shit. Are you trying to get our show sponsored by J. Mikes? I was just wondering if you were still doing
We should it. 1,000,000,000% try to get our show sponsored by Jersey Mikes.
Right?
Yeah, let's get on that. You have connections, too.
I do.
All right, let's do it. So we're just going to run through these names relatively quickly. There's a lot of names to get through. I'm going to apologize if I mispronounce names. There are some names on this list that, you know, every year, this is part of the fun of every year, is every year there are names on this list that maybe you weren't paying that much attention to last year, but now they're ready to, like, ascend into that spotlight. So I'm going to mispronounce some of these names, and I apologize, but we're going to do our best. So let's start with the freshmen. There are... two freshmen on this Naismith preseason Player of the Year watch list. Paige Beckers for UConn and Haley Van Lith for Louisville. So no surprise there for me. These were definitely two of the incoming players that, you know, I was keeping a close eye on.
They were during the two, recruiting. Yeah. For me, they were the, you know.
They're both point guards, so, yeah. You know, they're both players that can really control the game. So I think that's part of the reason why they're here as well, as opposed to like a center or a big who, you know, may be more reliant on a point guard to get them the ball. So Paige Beckers and Haley Van Lith, you know, congrats on making this list before you've even played a college game. The sophomores, we've got Aaliyah Boston, Sam Brunel, Zia Cook, Rakia Jackson, Haley Jones, Taylor Jones, Ayoka Lee, Ashley Owusu, Alyssa Pilley, and that's it. So a lot of sophomores, a lot of standouts from last year. You know, players that really did big things for the program. A couple players from South Carolina, Leah Boston and Zia Cook. These are exciting players to watch this year because you always want to see how those players that had a big freshman year, how they stand out as, like, sophomores. Like, do they have the sophomore slump?
Yeah. I feel like that's talked about a lot, the sophomore slump. Mm-hmm. I feel bad about it, but it's a real thing.
Why do you feel bad about it?
Because, like, you know, just because you had a really good year your freshman year doesn't mean everything's going to work out the same. So, like, I feel like... even if they have, like, a pretty good year and it's just not as good as your freshman year, you for some reason go down big time in people's eyes, even if you are still really good. So it's just, you know, I think it's an interesting thing that, you know, people always perceive it as, like, an actual, like, ality.
I think it's a real thing. I think you come into the league and, like, you're just excited to be there and you just go hard. And then, like, your next year, you, like, are trying to do too many things sometimes. You're trying to improve in too many ways. Like, I don't know.
Maybe.
I feel like, yeah, like, if you look at, like, a really successful, like big, like, Aaliyah Boston, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what if she, like, comes out and starts trying to, like, rip threes because she's been, like, working on that in the off season, and then it just doesn't, like, help her game because her game is down low. Like sophomore slump. Boom.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
If that's
where you want to go, like, fine. Sure.
I feel like it just has to do with, like, you know, whether you, you know, build upon what you do well already or whether you try to, like, become a new player.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's talk about the juniors.
Juniors.
Juniors on the list. Jessica Carter from Mississippi State. Charlie Collier from Texas, Alyssa Cunane from NC State, Lexi Held at DePaul, Naz Hillman at Michigan, Ryan Howard at Kentucky, Lexi Hall at Stanford, Ashley Jones at Iowa State, Dorka Juhasz at Ohio State, Olivia Nelson-Adoda at UConn, Lasha Petri at Bradley, Kate Reese at Arizona, Nelissa Smith from Baylor, Taylor Soule from Boston College, Evina Westbrook at UConn, Kristen Williams at UConn. So three UConn players on this list that are all juniors. So that makes UConn a scary team not only now, but next year as well.
Totally.
So that's four total players from UConn on this list so far, and we haven't even gotten into the seniors.
Yeah. UConn's good. Geno. Mm-hmm. Geno effect. It's never going to go away, probably.
Totally. You know? Until he goes away.
Yeah, even then, it's like, oh, you want to go to the historic program, you know?
Oh, I feel like as soon as Geno leaves, that program's gonna fall apart.
Not too many teams invest into women's basketball like they do.
That's fair.
So, if anybody has, like, the, hey, look what we have effect on kids, they are the ones.
I feel like players go there to learn from Geno and to become the best player they can be. And I feel like if Geno's not there, these players are going to prefer to go to a Power 5 school. But I could be wrong. Let's talk about the seniors. Senior love on the Naismith preseason watch list. All right, we got Dejanay Carrington from Baylor. We got Renaya Davis at Tennessee, Chelsea Dungy at Arkansas, Dana Evans at Louisville, Aaliyah Goodman at Oregon State, Vivian Gray at Texas Tech, Araya Grantes at Rutgers,
yes.
Lauren Hurd at TCU, Andia Jones at Texas A&M, Kiara Lewis at Syracuse, Natasha Mack at Oklahoma State, Tiana Mangakahia at Syracuse, Ari McDonald at Arizona, Nancy Mulkey at Rice, Michaela Onyenwede at UCLA, Allie Patberg at Indiana, Chelsea Perry at Tennessee Martin, Lindsay Pulliam at Northwestern, Dee Dee Richards at Baylor, Destiny Slocum at Arkansas, Jill Townsend at Gonzaga, Maddie Udy at Fresno State, and Kiana Williams at Stanford.
Big list.
That's our list.
Big list. Great, great talent on there.
Preseason prediction. Naismith Player of the Year.
Naismith Player of the Year. Who do I like a lot this year? I do like Olivia Nelson-Adoda. Mm-hmm. I think she could go to the next level this year. I like Haley Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Ari McDonald.
I'm going Alyssa Cunane. Preseason pick.
Alyssa Cunane.
I just think she's that good.
Yeah, I mean, I like it. I like it too. I can't hate on any of these picks right now because, like, we haven't seen anything. And going off of last year, love it.
Totally.
And I love to see any potential big slash center, forward, anybody in those areas win. To me, that's the more interesting one.
Totally.
Cool. Point guards just have the ball too much, you know? It's easy to pick out of them.
Sounds good. Why don't we cover the John R. Wooden Award next, since it's also a Player of the Year award. And we're going to mention basically all the same names. But we'll quickly run through it. So, for the John R. Wooden Award, presented by Wendy's. Maybe we can get Wendy's and Jersey Mike's to sponsor us.
I mean, logical choices. I feel like if we just be like, hey, we're the official podcast of, like, the NCAA, and be like, just, like, put us on your marketing material.
Official podcast of the NCAA.
Yeah, women's basketball. Yeah,
that's us. Imagine.
That's us.
Imagine.
I know there's other ones out there. You guys are great too, but we are the official one.
All right, let's talk about the Wooden Award list. We've got Aaliyah Boston, Paige Beckers, Charlie Collier, Zia Cook, Alyssa Cunane, Renaya Davis, Chelsea Dungy, Dana Evans, Vivian Gray, Areya Grantes, Naz Hillman, Ryan Howard, Lexi Hall, Rekia Jackson, Ashley Jones, India Jones, Ayoka Lee, Kiera Lewis, Tiana Mangakahia, Ari McDonald, Olivia Nelson-Adota, Michaela Anyanwide, Ali Patberg, Lindsay Pulliam, Destiny Slocum, Nalissa Smith, Unique Thompson, Evina Westbrook, Kristen Williams, and Kiana Williams. So the only name on this list that was not on the Naismith list is Unique Thompson from Auburn. Everyone else was on the other list as well.
It's pretty easy to spot, too, when you're going through that list and you see that name and you're just like, oh, look at that.
Totally.
That's unique.
Totally.
Yeah.
So a lot of the same names, you know, these are the players that we're really going to be watching and kind of looking out for. We mentioned a bunch of them when we were looking at the preseason rankings, talking about kind of like them, like putting their team in that top 15, that top 10. Really excited to kind of watch like how these player of the year races pan out.
Yes.
We're going to go over a couple other awards watch lists. This is really just kind of our attempt to make sure that we're really shouting out the players who are being honored and, you know, who are being, you know, kind of reviewed, you know, for their various accomplishments in the college game. We don't really want to, like, skimp them by not going through it. So bear with us while we just throw more names at you. John, why don't you read off the preseason watch list for the Nancy Lieberman Award, which goes to the best point guard in the league.
All right. So we got Destiny Slocum, Dee Dee Richards, Daeja Fair, Michaela Kelly, Paige Beckers, Tiana England, Ali Patberg, Daeja Smith. I don't know.
Tradeja.
Thank you. Haley Van Lith, Amy Dilk. Yeah. Maya Taylor, Rihanna Perez, CeCe Hooks, Diamond Johnson. You go for that one.
No, nah, do it.
Navina Dmitrievich. Yeah, bitch. Got it. Navina Sorry.
Dmitrievich.
Sorry.
I mean, I'm guessing too.
I can't say Makara.
Tiana Mangakahia.
Maikaya.
Keep going.
Kyra Lambert, Drew Gleaton?
Gilton?
Yeah, right. And then Katya Galgos.
And you missed Lauren Hurd.
I miss Lauren Hurd. All these other names that came at the end of that.
Yo, this is fun. Let's make him read all these lists.
No, I'm good now. So you do the next few lists.
Anyway, so that's the Nancy Lieberman Award, which goes to the top point guard in the league. So there's some big names there. I think you have to kind of look at which of these names are also on the Player of the Year award list to think like these are the front runners. So you're looking at, like, maybe Destiny Slocum, Dee Dee Richards, Paige Beckers, Ali Patberg, Haley Van Lith, Tiana Mangakahia, Lauren Hurd. These are probably going to be your front runners just because they're also on the Player of the Year list.
Totally.
But it's a great list. Don't want to leave anyone out, so. Let's talk about the Ann Myers Drysdale Award to the best shooting guard. So this is where you're going to hear a lot of those, you know, in a Player of the Year candidates. So we've got Ari McDonald, Chelsea Dungy, Dejanay Carrington, Kristen Williams, Sonia Morris, Jill Townsend, Nicole Cardano-Hillary, Dana Evans, Ashley Owusu, Jakia Brown-Turner, Lindsay Pulliam, Taylor Robertson, Taylor Mikesell, Areya Garantes, Zia Cook, Kiana Williams, Kiera Lewis, Destiny Pitts, Charisma Osborne, and Brynna Maxwell. So there were maybe like 10 or 15 names on that list that are also on the player.
Sorry. Oh, man. Your face.
That was terrifying.
Yeah.
You won't hear it, but our exit music just kicked in the middle of our recording, and it terrified me. So
I
literally jumped off my chair. when I guess we're not going to need a fade in for this music, huh? Anyway, you'll hear it at the end of the episode, so bear with us. We're almost there. All right. Back to the list. Anyway, I was saying there were a lot of names on the shooting guard list that are Player of the Year candidates.
Totally.
Why don't you do the Cheryl Miller small forward
I'm
list?
All discombobulated right now. Do this one, and I'll do the next one.
Okay. This is the Cheryl Miller award to the best small forwards. So we've got Taylor Soule, Summer Hemphill, Avina Westbrook, Aubrey Griffin, Grace Berger, Ashley Jones, Ryan Howard, Elizabeth Balogun, Angel Reese, Rekia Jackson, Erica Johnson, Aaron Boley, Bria Beal, Haley Jones, Mia Davis, Renaya Davis, Kayla Wells, Vivian Gray, Michaela Onyenwede, and Ivana Raka.
Woo!
Ivana Raka. I like that name.
I could tell. You're a little rocking in your chair. You did when you said it. It was a great move.
Thanks.
I love it.
So you're going to do the Katrina McClain Award to the best power forward?
I will do that one. All right, let's go. So Jasmine Walker, Kat Reese, Unique Thompson, Nalissa Smith, Maddie Udy, Natalie Chakowski, Nas Hillman, Jessica Carter, Sam Brunel, Natasha Mack, Taylor Jones, Brooklyn McDavid, Bethy Manunga, Francesca Belibi, Cameron Brink, Nita Jones, Alyssa Pill, Chelsea Perry, Maddie Segrist.
This is so fun.
Ranimi Elday.
Ranim Elgadawi?
Elgadawi? Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
Butchering names.
Yeah.
Not my plan to do that, but it just gonna happen that way. So
reading, man. It's so hard.
I don't know how to say these people's last names. I don't know how they're pronounced.
Lastly is the Lisa Leslie Award to the top center in the game. So we've got Queen Egbo, Hannah Gusters, Sarah Hampson, Olivia Nelson Adoda, Jade Williams, Kristen Scott, Amicia Williams, Ayoka Lee, Elisa Cunane, Kate Kane, Janelle Bailey, Shakira Austin, Aaliyah Parker, Nancy Mulkey, Antoinette Lewis, Aaliyah Boston, Camila Cardoso, Charlie Collier, Ela Lane, and Elizabeth Kitley.
Woo!
All right, those are all the names.
Woo!
Everyone you should be paying attention to.
And that's our
and
preseason
everyone else
chat.
You should just ignore, apparently. Yeah, how are we doing on time here?
Like 50 minutes.
No. Yeah. It was supposed to be a short one.
No.
Anyway, so yeah, that'll do it for our preseason show. Watch some games. Check out all these amazing players that we've just name-dropped for the last 50 minutes.
Yes, name-dropped everybody. So we basically named the league. So now go look at every team and pay attention. But... try and figure out some of the people that I was fucking talking about, because you have no idea
what their names really are.
Yeah, because I wasn't even coming close. So that was our show.
We're trying here.
Yeah, first show, season 4. Woo! Woo!
Woo! In the books. Mic drop. Yeah, we're the King Size Queens. This has been the Queens of the Court podcast. I'm Paul Jafrida.
I'm John Hanson.
And thanks for listening, and enjoy the upcoming season. We'll be back to give you more interesting information than just the name dropping we did today. But thanks for listening.
Yeah, I got a little winded. Sorry. Love you guys. Bye.
Calling me baby, why the sudden change?
Say my name,
if no one is around you, say baby I love you, if you ain't running games.
Say my name,
you acting kinda shady, ain't calling me baby, better say my name.
The other day, I would call, you would say, baby how's your day, but today.